church where freedom reigns. We want to be a people full of grace. We want to be a shelter where the broken find their place. We want to be a refuge for the weak. We want to be a light for the world to see. We want to be a love that breaks the walls and fills the streets. All are welcome here as we are.
Friends, our team produced that video because we just finished the first year of our Relentless campaign. It goes on for 2 years, and we're making amazing progress. And, man, we've got a lot to celebrate, a lot to be thankful for. I want to welcome all of you today and everybody on all four of our campuses and all those who are watching on the Internet. We launched this year of ministry at the concert park down at the Westin, and we just had a fantastic service, man. Everything went so well. But we also announced where our next regional campus is going to go. And friends, this time next year, we're rolling out a new campus in Statesboro, everybody. What do y'all think about that? Statesboro, Georgia. I'm telling you, man, they got the second largest university in the state of Georgia there, and 95% of those kids don't go to church anywhere. It's just not right, and we're going to do something about it. Amen? We're going to do something about it. Well, I want to start off this year with a sermon series on how to have a blessed life. Everybody I know wants to have a blessed life, and so we're going to talk about that for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and we're going to start off by talking about how to be financially blessed. Now, as this series goes on, we're going to move from finances into how to surround yourself with godly friends that will bless your life. We're going to talk about how you can live your life in such a way that you know you are doing what God made you to do, and man, when you're living like that, that's a blessing as well. But today, we're going to start off talking about finances, and what that means is why God blesses some people financially, and why He blesses some people more than others. Now, to talk about this, I'm going to have to talk about your money. And most people are not real comfortable with that, so let me start off by talking about my money, all right? Because I'm telling you, you are looking at one of the most blessed people you will ever meet. Sarah and I have been blessed financially throughout our marriage. Throughout the last 30 years of our marriage, we have had extra money just laying around our entire marriage, because the Lord has blessed us. Isn't that amazing? Now, the question is not, are we blessed? The question is, why are we blessed? And I think there are a lot of reasons why we're blessed. Sarah and I learned from the Bible to hate foolish debt. We hate it. Consequently, we don't spend money we don't have. As a result of that, we don't carry any credit card debt and have not for many, many, many years. We went through a real hard learning experience with that when she went through cancer some years ago. And we just loaded up everything, credit cards, everything for medical debt. But since that time, we have resisted the temptation to spend money that we don't have on credit cards. And so we are blessed that we never pay interest to a credit card company. And that's a blessing. We don't have any car payments either. The last vehicle I bought, I paid cash for it. Did you know they'll let you do that? They don't advertise it, man. They don't want you to know. But, you know, if you pay cash, you will get a better deal. Now, my theory is drive any car you want, just buy it when it's 2 years old and let somebody else pay for all the depreciation, all right? And I got attacked by a couple car dealers in our church over that last night, but that's just the way I roll, all right? The last vehicle I bought, I paid 30% under retail for it because I paid for it with cash. Sarah and I are also blessed because we have a manageable mortgage. We have a manageable mortgage because we have chosen to live in a house that costs less than we can afford. Now, we could afford to buy a bigger house. We just didn't. Now, that's what I call wise debt. You know, when you go into debt for something that's really big and really important, but it holds its value. I think another reason that we've been blessed is because we have both given at least 10% of our gross income to our church since long before we knew each other. Now, Sarah and I support a lot of ministries, but our full tithe, that's what the Bible calls giving 10%, has always gone to our church. We were taught to tithe by our parents. And so both of us have been tithers literally since we were 8-10 years old, starting with allowance, and we have tithed every bit of income ever since. And frankly, you know, since tithing is the starting point for generosity according to the Scripture, certainly we have grown spiritually over the last, you know, 30-something years. And let me tell you, our generosity has grown far, far beyond just giving 10% as well. Now, friends, I don't think you'll ever meet anybody who feels more blessed than Sarah and I do. And that's because we are blessed. Now, we're not rich, and we don't have a perfect life. I mean, my wife had cancer. We've had deaths in our family. My son was almost killed in a car wreck when he was in high school. My stepdad has Alzheimer's. I mean, we're facing challenges like everybody else, but we are still really, really blessed. Now, friends, feeling blessed is motivated by awareness, you know? We have become aware of our level of blessing because we work with people who are so much less blessed than we are. For example, we have counseled couples with terrible marriages. I mean, I can't tell you how many hundreds of couples we've married with just terrible marriages, and we've counseled them. And friends, that has caused us to appreciate our marriage and to work on it and invest in it and protect it. Man, we have watched people just go through the agony of being financially unwise. And so that's motivated us to seek financial wisdom. Consequently, man, we have scoured God's Word. And we have made appointments with financial coaches. And we've taken courses at our church, like Crown Ministries and Financial Peace University. And man, these are just fantastic learning opportunities. I can't imagine anybody who's in debt who has not taken these courses at our church. If you're in debt, it's because you don't know what to do with money. And these classes will tell you. I mean, these will coach you from God's Word. Anybody in this room could be out of debt in 2 years. I don't care what your debt level is. You could be out in 2 years if you knew what God's Word says about money management and that. And man, we have taken these courses again and again. Sarah and I have humbled ourselves. We have come before the Lord as students and asked, Lord, how can our finances be blessed? Now, one of the advantages that we have is that we don't think we're smarter than God. Do you think you're smarter than God? Some of you do. Some of you think you're a lot smarter than God. You think you're smarter than the Bible, smarter than God, you know better than the Lord does? We don't think that. We have humbled ourselves before the counsel of Scripture, and consequently, we've been blessed. We've also, in addition to giving our tithe to the church, we've also given to our global outreach ministry every year for the last 28 years above our tithe. And friends, one of the deliverables of this commitment is that we have seen how other believers in other countries around the world live. We have visited those ministries. We have stayed in their homes. And we are aware that we are much better off than most of the people of the world. But let me just be honest with you, man. We're blessed. But I struggle with materialism. I know I'm the only one here. But I'm telling you, I struggle with materialism. Because I love to buy stuff. I mean, I like motorcycles and cars and trucks and guns. And I got a boat lust issue I've been going to Celebrate Recovery for, man. I'm telling you, you know. I'm just telling you, I love stuff like everybody else does. And sometimes it just gets away from me. You know what I'm saying? A couple Christmases ago, Sarah gave me a rifle for Christmas. It's the first rifle I've ever owned. I really like it. Thank you, baby. Glad to be able to help you pick that out. It was a blessing, you know. But it didn't have a scope on it, and so I had to get a scope. And when I went to buy that scope, I just lost it, man. I'm telling you, I went hog wild buying that scope. Now, I bought it for 40% below retail, so I felt better about that. You know how you can always make yourself feel better about doing something truly stupid? I got it for 40% off over the internet, but I bought a laser scope that I'm telling you, I can program the exact cartridge I'm going to use, and then it will calculate the drop of the bullet all the way out to 600 yards, and then there's a little red light on the crosshair, and it just drops down so you know exactly where to hold the scope. But I live in Georgia, the land of a billion pine trees. I mean, the only place in this state you can even see 600 yards is the interstate, and they discourage hunting out there. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, man, I love stuff just like you do. But here's the point, man. We are blessed because we have learned to rein in our materialism and to rein in that lust for stuff by creating an awareness in our hearts and minds of the blessing we could be to others if we use that money wisely. Now, friends, you will never overcome materialism by trying to be less materialistic. You'll never win with that. You only overcome materialism by making yourself aware of the implications of how you spend your money. Man, if you want financial margin, if you want a little breathing room, you cannot spend more than you make. You have to stop spending at some point. If you want financial freedom, man, you can't spend yourself into foolish debt. And if you want to be blessed, you have to deploy your money in ways that the Bible says are blessed by God. Now, that's what we've learned. And let me tell you, we're blessed because of it. Now, let's talk about you. Are you blessed? Because I'll tell you, the first step toward a blessed life is to admit that you are already blessed. Amen? Now, I've already told you about Sarah. She and I are blessed because we have extra money. It's laying around. We just have to decide what to do with it. And so do you. So do you. Now, many of us don't think we have any extra money because the economy's bad, but most of us do. We may have less extra money than we've had before. We may not have as much extra money as we want to have, but most of us have extra money. We don't think of it as extra, but it is extra. So let me just help you discern whether you have any extra money laying around or not. If you ever eat out, you have extra money. Amen? Not a lot of enthusiasm there. If you go to movies, you have extra money. Now, an entertainment budget is nice, but you know, nobody ever died from lack of moviation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not like a need. If you have two cars, you have extra money. If you own your own home, good Lord, man, you've got extra money. Do you realize that in Europe, most young adults don't think they'll ever own a home? They think they will rent their entire lives because home ownership is so cost prohibitive, it's just out of reach. That's the way most of the young adults in Europe think. If you have an expensive coffee habit, you have extra money. If you have a seasonal wardrobe, for example, if you have a little house, a little room at your house where your summer clothes live during the winter, you know what I'm talking about? And you switch them. You know why you're able to do that? Because you have extra money. Let me ask you this. Categories of clothing. Do you have pajamas, work clothes, relaxing clothes, workout clothes, business clothes, tennis clothes, golf clothes, work in the yard clothes? Do you? I mean, shoot, some of us change clothes 4 or 5 times a day. Amen? Friends, if you have all those different categories of clothing, it's because you have extra money. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever traded or gotten rid of something that worked just fine? You just wanted the next model. You know what I'm talking about? I got an iPhone with a 3 on it. I just got to have the 4, man. Got to have it. You know why you do that stuff? Why you upgrade? Because you got extra money. Let me see the hands of everybody here who's ever had a garage sale. Garage sale. All right, what were you selling in that garage sale? Extra stuff. And if you sold any of it, what did you have at the end of the yard sale? Extra money. Hey, this next thing now, most people in the world, I'm telling you, if you told most people in the world, they'd say, you're a liar. They would not believe it. I have this at my house, and I know some of y'all may have this at your house too. I have a sink in my kitchen. It's got an appliance at the bottom of it. And you reach over to the wall here, and you flip that switch up, and it goes. Anybody got one of those? What do you call that? I've discouraged my kids from actually putting garbage in the garbage disposal. We put food in ours. We put food that we could have eaten in the garbage disposal. You know why? Because I have a refrigerator sitting over here that is already so stacked up with extra food that we don't want to keep this extra food, so we put it down. We dispose of this extra food. You know why? Because we've been blessed. Amen? We've been blessed, man. Now, the question here's a question I want to ask you about your blessing that I bet you've never asked before, but let me tell you, Jesus asked this question. Why have you been blessed so much? There's no question that you've been blessed. The question is, why have you been blessed so much? Man, we live in a culture that focuses us to constantly think about the stuff we don't have, the things we don't drive, the houses we don't live in. So consequently, we always feel like we're behind on the whole materialism thing, right? But I'm telling you, I have walked through some pretty desolate places in this world. And I've met people there who love the Lord just as much as I do. And every time I meet them, I ask the same question, Lord, why is it that I have been blessed so much more than these people? Now, friends, we live in a culture that will never encourage you to ask that question. But if you want to enjoy a blessed life, it is wise to acknowledge the reason for your blessing. Man, if you were to ask why you have been so blessed and then just completely ignore the teachings of the Bible, you'd probably conclude that your blessing is all for you to enjoy. I mean, in America, that's why, you know, when we just do what comes natural, as our standard of blessing goes up, what else goes up? Our standard of living goes up. We get more money, we want more house, more car, more vacation homes, more trips, more clothes, more whatever. And I want to suggest to you that one of the rules of the spiritual world is that every time you do something that just comes natural to you, you will almost always be wrong. Every time you do something that just comes natural, you will almost always be wrong. Friends, we live on a supernatural plane, amen? I mean, that's what Christ is calling us up to, a blessed life above the natural. So turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at a blessed man. This was a blessed man, all right? Jesus tells a parable about this guy to help us understand why we are blessed. All right, Luke chapter 12, we'll start reading in verse 13, kind of set this thing up. Jesus is teaching. This is a time of great controversy for him. There are lots of people coming out, He's teaching. And somebody in the crowd says to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And then Jesus said to them, "Watch out, be on guard for every kind of greed, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now that's an odd answer, right? I mean, the guy yells out, "Tell my brother to be fair." And Jesus says, "Watch out for greed." And so people are confused. And so he tells a story in verse 16 to explain what he means. He says, you know, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. What does that mean? Dude's blessed. He is blessed. Here's a farmer who has hit the mother load, man. I'm telling you, he is blessed. He thought to himself, what shall I do? Man, I have no place to store my crops. Now, in the first century, you know, people, when they listen to this story, they would immediately realize this guy has been blessed. He's having to figure out where to put it all. I mean, that's how blessed he is. He's trying to figure out, where do I stack this stuff up? And man, the reason he has a bumper crop is that God has blessed him. Man, God blessed his land. God blessed his crops. I mean, it was rain and good soil and things he has no control over. I mean, he's just blessed. And so now he's got to decide, what am I going to do with all of this blessing? Look at verse 18. He says, this is what I'll do. I'm going to tear these barns down. I'm going to build some bigger ones. And then I'll be able to stack up all my grain and all my goods. You know what he's thinking? I've been blessed so much, I need a new place for all my surplus blessing. This brother is thinking ahead. Everybody in the crowd is going, way to go, man. Your family's going to be rich forever. Way to go. Verse 18, he said, this is what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. All right, we already said that. Now, this is the point in the parable where the audience goes, man, I am jealous. Dog, I wish the Lord would bless me like that. And then in verse 19, he says, I'm going to say to myself, you got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry. Friends, this is the American dream. I mean, this is what we all want to do. Work hard, cash out, you know, travel, golf, play tennis, you know, take it easy the rest of our lives. He makes the same assumption that most Americans make, that many of us make. I've been blessed, and it's for me. So why wouldn't I let my lifestyle chase my income? I mean, why wouldn't I build bigger barns or get better cars or upgrade or trade up? I mean, why don't I build, you know, we don't build bigger barns. We just buy nicer homes or more of them. Because, man, we've been blessed. It must be all for me to enjoy. Now, not everybody does this. You know, Warren Buffett, like the second richest man in America, billionaire, lives in the same house today that he raised his kids in for the last 40 years, a little ranch-style house in Omaha, Nebraska. Not everybody just does what comes natural. But the guy in this parable is typical of so many people in our world. He forgets to ask the most important question. And friends, it's not even a category for most of the people in our world. But here's the question. Why has God blessed me so much? Why has God blessed me so much? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Most people haven't. This guy certainly doesn't. He just assumes what everybody assumes, that it's all for me. So, man, of course, I need to build a bigger barn so I have some place to stack up all my blessing. And listen, everybody in that audience is thinking, way to go, man. You did it. You hit the jackpot. Jesus love you, brother. Jesus love you. And then Jesus, in his wonderful way, brings everybody back to reality in the situation. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, now everybody else is going, yeah. But God said to him, all together, let's read this. You fool. What? You mean not businessman of the year? Not entrepreneur of the year? Not the front page of Forbes magazine? No. The God of the living and the dead says to him, all together, you fool. Now, is he a fool because he's wealthy? No. He couldn't help being wealthy. Listen, he was in the right place at the right time. The crops came in. He had the right intelligence, the right opportunity. The crops just came rolling in. He's not a fool because he's been blessed. He's a fool because he thought all that blessing was just for him. And then God says, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. And this guy experienced what many of us in this room will experience. He ran out of time before he ran out of money. And then Jesus asked him a trick question. Then, when you die, and it's going to happen very soon, when you die, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? What's the answer? Somebody else. All right? I mean, that's the answer. Who's going to get it? Somebody else is going to get it. And listen, it won't be because you were generous or wise or you know, honored God with that. It'll be because you're dead. That's why somebody else will get it, because you're dead. And I think one of the things this parable teaches us is that if you live for yourself and spend all your money on yourself and focus all your stuff on yourself, and then when you leave, die, you leave it all to charity. Well, don't expect God to be clapping for you when you show up in eternity. Because you didn't give it. You didn't invest it. You didn't share it. You didn't steward it. You didn't use it in a godly way. You just left it. And man, everybody leaves it. Not because you're generous, but because you're dead. You're gone. You're out of the game. Man, Jesus looked at this blessed man. Blessed man, and said, brother, you are a fool. You think I gave this all to you just for you? Really? Look at the next verse, because this is very powerful. He says, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Now, what does that mean? Because this is a contrasting statement. Jesus is introducing two categories of blessed people. He says, you know, there are blessed people who are not rich toward God. And there are blessed people who are rich toward God. And man, Jesus is saying it is foolish for someone who has been blessed on earth not to be rich toward God. I mean, please, God has already blessed you, man. I mean, how foolish do you have to be as a blessed person to not be rich toward God when he's the one who blessed you in the first place? Now, if you continue to read through this passage, Jesus defines what it means to be rich toward God. Look down at verse 33. In verse 33, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. What's he talking about? He didn't say sell out, but liquidate some of those assets and be generous with them. Liquidate some of those assets and use them to make a difference in this world. He's talking about being generous here. Man, there's not one word in this parable about that guy giving anything as he gets the big blessing and just consumes it all. Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. You provide a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. Now, Jesus teaches us that we are blessed so we can bless. And that's one of the things I love about this church. We have been blessed as a church, and we bless. Friends, that's why we have the Relentless Campaign. That's why we were able to, you know, put a ministry out on the east side, a ministry out in Rincon, and one downtown, and build this adult ministry center, and build that, you know, youth facility in Guatemala this year. We have been blessed so that we can bless. But that's what Jesus is teaching here. When you've been blessed, and it is a blessing from God, and He expects you to use it to care for people who are in need. And when you are blessed, and you spend it all for yourself, you are insulting the one who blessed you. And according to Jesus, that's a really foolish thing to do. Now, if you're here today and you don't love Jesus, you know, this is just confirmation that all I talk about is money at church, and you'll blow this off, and I get that. But if you do love Jesus, this teaching is very challenging. And here's what it means to us. If you are blessed, and we all are, and you just go do what comes natural, you just consume all you make, you spend it all on yourself, or save it all for yourself, then you are living as if that blessing is just for you. You know, Andy Stanley says, if you have a spending habit and a savings plan, but no generosity plan, you are living as if the blessing of God is all for you. Now, that doesn't mean you don't give. I mean, it doesn't mean at times you're not generous. I mean, you know, just ringing the little bell out in front of Walmart, you know, I mean, you throw something in, you know, that's generosity. I mean, Americans are very generous, but American generosity is emotional. You remember last January what happened? There was a big earthquake in Haiti, and what happened, man? We just gave and gave and gave and gave, and it was a spontaneous kind of giving from all over the country. Christians gave, non-Christians gave, rich, poor, middle class, everybody gave. But friends, that kind of American giving, it's not planned. It's not percentage giving. It's not disciplined. It's not sacrificial. It's not predictable. It's just spontaneous. It's emotional giving. It's compassionate. I mean, we should all be compassionate. But I'm telling you, that kind of spontaneous giving does not attack the greed that is in every one of us. It doesn't help with the materialism that we all struggle with. And it will not guarantee that when you stand before the Lord, that He won't think you have been really foolish because you consumed almost all of the blessing that He entrusted to you. Now, friend, when you look in the mirror, you will never see a greedy person. You know what I'm talking about? You will never see greed in the mirror. What you'll see is a good planner, a thoughtful investor, a cautious person. That's how you will always interpret your lust for money. Nobody sees greed. But I'll tell you, if you have a spending habit and a savings plan, but you don't have a giving plan, it's either because of ignorance, you just didn't know, or it's because of greed. And you are allowing the blessing of God in your life to be consumed. And what that means is that you think it's all about you. Friends, that's what greed looks like. And Jesus says greedy people are foolish people. And if you want to bless life, you just got to declare war on foolishness. Amen? You got to figure out what's foolish in your life and declare war on that. Now, the only antidote to greed and the foolishness it breeds is to be generous with your blessing. That's the only antidote. Now, friends, there's a habit that you could get into today that will defeat the greed that makes us foolish. And we call it here at the church a percentage giving plan. The Bible calls it tithing. And here's how it works. Man, you choose to give a percentage of your income to the Lord off the top. And not what's left over, man. You wisely choose to be generous first. And then that priority guarantees that you're not going to be consumed. You know, your blessing is not going to be consumed by a bigger house or a boat or a new car or clothes or iPads or, you know, whatever. Man, when I decide to tithe, you know, to become a percentage giver off the top, it forces me to adjust my lifestyle accordingly. I can't buy that boat because I have to tithe. Now, I can rob God and buy it, but I'm not going to do that. My character won't allow that. Man, it keeps me from ever giving God the leftovers. It keeps me from getting to the end of the month and going, well, we only got $84 left. I mean, how much are we going to give the Lord here? It protects me from being what Jesus called a fool with your money. Now, like I said earlier, Sarah and I, because her school teacher dad was a tither and he taught her, and my farmer slash salesman daddy was a tither and he taught me. Friends, we've been doing this our whole lives. Since the day we were married 30 years ago, we have practiced this percentage giving plan. We have always given over 10% of our gross income to bless our church and consequently bless our world. And friends, over the last 30 years of tithing, we've also given above that to missions, and above that to Relentless, and above that to Young Life and FCA and other stuff like that. And I'm just telling you, I am more blessed today than I ever dreamed I would be. And if I could have all that money back, you know, and put it in an investment fund at Merrill Lynch or, you know, wherever, I wouldn't take it back. I wouldn't want it because of the learning generosity has been for me, the blessing it has been for me and my soul and my marriage and my heart and my family. And friends, that's what I want for you. I want you to feel blessed because you are blessed. Now, when you learn to be generous by becoming a percentage giver, it guarantees that the things that you possess do not eventually possess you. And friends, this is not rocket science. This is simple math. Now, I am not a math person, all right? I am. You know, you got math people, and then you got normal people, right? And I am not how many math people do we have here? Raise all the arrogant, stuck up, you know, better than everybody else math people. Hold your hands. All right. I'm not a math person, okay? So let me just break this down for you. If you're not a math person like me, I'm going to make this really easy. This is 10 $1 bills. Now, every time you get 10 of these, this is what I was taught by my parents. Every time you get, look at this. Isn't this a beautiful thing? Oh, nobody wants to see money in church. It just rolls up the wrong stuff, all right? But anyway, every time I get 10 of these, I'm going to take one. And I'm going to say, Father, because you have been so good to me, because you have blessed me with all of this, I'm going to take one of these, and I'm going to give it to your church and dedicate it to your work in the world. All right, let me go over that one more time. All right, it's very complicated. Okay, y'all ready? You with me? I know some of y'all are not mad people. You're going, what do you do? This is a simple antidote that will keep you from making a fool out of yourself. Blitz students, element students, college students, soldiers, singles, newlyweds, people in debt. I mean, God knows if you're in debt, if anybody needs the blessing of God on their finances, it's you. And so if you want the blessing of God, do stuff that God blesses. And that's not keep hoarding it and spending it in stupid ways. Man, start giving. Be generous. That's what God blesses. Now, here's the way this thing works. Successful people, you know, business people, blessed people. This is how you keep from becoming a bigger barn person and end up standing before God as some poor fool who was rich for 5 minutes on earth. Right? This is insurance, right? So every time I get 10 of these, I'm going to take one, and look at how many I get to keep. Wouldn't you love to have a partnership with a rich guy like that? You know, where everything that comes in, you keep 90%, I just want 10%, that's it. Wow, that's not how franchises work. It's the opposite, right? But I mean, man, wouldn't this be a great partnership? All right, every time I get 10, I'm going to give one to the church. Any questions? Now, you know this is easy to do with $1 bills, isn't it? It is easy to do. But I got some $10 bills here, and I learned this too, man, when I started working. Every time you get 10 of these babies, and that's a beautiful thing right there, $100. Isn't it amazing how big $100 looks at church and how little it looks at the mall? You ever thought about that? But anyway, it's looking big right now, baby. All right, but every time you get 10 of these, 10 $10 bills, I'm going to take one of them and say, Lord, because I love you and because you've blessed me so much, I'm going to invest one of these in your church and in your work in the world. Simple. You get to keep the big piece, you give the Lord a little piece, right? And it's not hard to do with $10 either, but now this is a stack of $100 bills. And that is an armed police officer, so don't even think about it. All right? We're trying to reach the lost, and we know they're here. I'm not worried about lost people. The Christians are what I'm worried about. Okay, but anyway, sorry, Christians, I might add. But anyway, every time we get 10 of these, what are we going to do? Lord, because you've been so good to me, I'm going to bring this $100, and I'm going to give it to you because of the look at all this blessing that has come into my life. Any questions? You know, it's not hard to do with ones and tens. And it's not hard to do with hundreds, really. But I don't have to tell you, man, the bigger those bills get, the harder it is to give. And it's not because you're not blessed. It's because of greed. Greed. You know who the greediest people in America are? The richest. The richest people in America are the greediest and are the least charitable. And I've had people push back and say, Cam, that guy gave $50,000 to the church. Really? What'd he make? What'd he make? Because, you know, money has a context. And Jesus taught that generosity is about percentages. It's not about zeros, man. It's about percentages. And I'm just telling you, the Bible teaches, and I have proven it in my own life, that the one thing you can do, the best thing you can do to bring God's blessing on your financial world is to learn to be a percentage giver, to make that commitment. Man, if you love the Lord, it doesn't matter whether He says He'll bless you or not. Listen, if you love the Lord and He said, I want half, you would gladly give Him half because you're thinking, man, I was a heart attack away from hell before He saved me. But He didn't say half. He just said 10%. And I'm telling you, man, if you love the Lord and you want the blessing of God, you should become a percentage giver because it will create a firewall in your life against foolishness. It will create a firewall against foolishness. Now, I'll tell you what I think you ought to do sometime that would really help. This would be hard, and I don't know if anybody could pull it off or not, but this is what I think you ought to do. Every January, you ought to take your paycheck and cash it out in $1 bills, right? And then bring it home to the kitchen table, get all the kids around and say, y'all, look at this. Look at how blessed we are. Look at all of this. And then just stack them up. Divide it into 10 and stack it up into 10 piles of $1 bills. And the kids will be going, we're rich. And you say, yes, we are. Can we go to Toys R Us? No, you can't. All right? But anyway, we got it all right here, all 10 stacks. And listen, of all this blessing, all God asks us to give Him is one. And so it is our pleasure to just slide this one over to the Lord. And I'll guarantee if you do this, and you look at all that blessing, it'll motivate you to say, we can do better than that. We can move some more over. Because of the good this does and because of the good we've received, we can be more generous than that. I bet you your gratitude will move you to do that. You know, as Savannah Christian, we even make it easier to try to become a percentage giver. We offer a 90-day tithing challenge where if you will try tithing, if you're not a tither, if you'll try it for 90 days, if you will tithe your full income for the next 90 days, at the end of that 90 days, if you can honestly say, God did bless you, we'll give you your stinking money back. We'll give it back. Just try. You'll never have an easier opportunity to try it than right here. Man, just give a full tithe of your total income for the next 90 days. Do it for the full 90 days starting today. Don't quit early. Give it with a check so that we can track it. And friends, I'll guarantee you, when you look at the blessing in your life, you'll think, that's the smartest move I ever made. Now, that blessing might not be financial. It might be your marriage starts being blessed. Or your health, or your family, or your kids, or your spiritual life. But man, I want to encourage you to see for yourself, if you honor God with a tithe of your income, if He will not honor you with a blessed life. So friends, it's simple. If you want a blessed life financially, don't be foolish. If you want a blessed life in marriage, don't be foolish. If you want a blessed life, don't be foolish. Now, if you're ready to be blessed, we have a commitment card on your seat today, and I hope you'll take this thing out and take a look at it. And it says right here, this is in your program, it says, I will respond to the lordship of Christ in my life by investing my spiritual growth through weekly worship and study and service. Well, of course, if you want to be blessed, you want to be growing spiritually, I'll begin to honor God with my finances by trying the 90-day tithing challenge. If you're not a tither today, I would encourage you to try it. It's painless. You can't lose any money on it. Check it out. I will express gratitude to God with my finances by becoming a tither and giving 10% or more of my income in 2012. Sir, and I've been doing that since the day we got married, and I'm telling you, it's been a blessing to us. I will take the intentional step to get out of debt. Now, friend, if you're deep in debt today, and it's not because of some medical emergency or something like that, it's because you don't know how to handle money. And you can learn how to handle it. You can learn this. This is just like hitting a baseball. You can learn this. And we have classes that are very, very helpful. Man, check that. Go to the website, to the finance stuff. Man, look for those classes. Sign up. And I'm telling you, 2 years from today, the tension you feel right now will be gone. It'll be gone. Sign your name. Put a date on it. Bring it up here to the altar. No, I'm just kidding about that. Put it in your Bible. Don't give this to me, man. You're not making a commitment to me. You're making a commitment to the Lord. To the one who blessed you, or not. Now, friends, these are treatments for the kind of greed and materialism that'll make a fool out of you. Now, some of you right now are thinking, when is this going to be over? I hate these messages on giving. Some of you are thinking, doggone it, why does that preacher always talk about money? And if something inside is grating against what you've heard today, it's because you're controlled by money. That's what it is. You're controlled by money. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, everybody's controlled by money. If you're a Christian, you ought to take a hard look at that. But you know, the truth is, if you're controlled by money, you're sitting around people who used to be. I'll guarantee you, within 10 feet of you, there's a guy right now who'll tell you, Lord, the first time I heard this, I got so mad. I told my wife, wait, I go out by that preacher just trying to get all the money from him. And the more I listened, the more sense it made. You know, we just kept going down, down, down. Finally, we said, let's try it. And I remember when I wrote that first 10% check out, I brought it to church, and I was like, I know I can't do it, man. And when I had to come back to the second service because I couldn't get it in the first service, you know? I guarantee you, man, you are sitting within 10 feet of somebody right now who used to think just like you and who is blessed today because they have begun to do things that God blesses. Now, if you feel a tension when we talk about giving, let me tell you, that's not a financial tension, friends. That's a heart tension. And you're feeling conflicted because Jesus is messing with your heart. He actually said that, you remember? In verse 34, when he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And by God's grace, when you redirect your money, very often you will redirect your heart. Father, thank you for this story. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for calling us out. Lord, you know, learning to share, I mean, that's the hardest thing to teach a child to do. And some of us adults, and it's still hard. And so, Father, I just pray that you'll use this message to call us up. And I pray, God, that there are those who will courageously, Lord, begin to take the path of blessing today and begin to experience the blessing that you reserve for the generous. And I pray, God, that 20 years from now, we'll look back on this day as the start of a season of generosity that has just brought untold blessing into our lives. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.